This is The Agriculturist, the official podcast of the student-created magazine in the Texas Tech University Department of Agricultural Education and Communications. In each episode, we hear from the students as they expand on the stories you'll see in the printed and online magazine from the school we love so dearly.
Well, Beyonce says, I woke up like this. And I wish I could say that I woke up like this one morning and was like, yes, this is what we're going to do. I've always been involved in my community.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Chris Vardy. I'm here with Nate Gregory, Cabri Mullins, and Katie Harris, and we're with the Agriculturist Podcast. Today, we have a special guest, Dr. Jason Hedrick.
Hey, everyone.
Today, we're going to talk about high-impact learning here in the Davis College. Katie, what is high-impact learning?
Yeah, so high-impact learning is an experience that students get to have in the classroom.
Supermarkets.
This semester, the ACOM blog had a high-impact learning experience producing a magazine called The Agriculturist, which is what we are talking about today. Cabri, could you tell us a little bit about the history of high-impact learning?
Yeah, so Texas Tech is actually really unique. The high-impact learning experiences has actually been here, which started at the Dairy Barn, since the start of Tech in 1923, and students actually got to bring cows and chickens, and they used to even grow their own crops here on campus, which helped not only benefit them in learning how to go out and be in production agriculture, but also it helped them pay their way through classes. We even still offer a lot of high-impact learning experiences here at Texas Tech University, but more specifically in the Davis College. That's really foundational to what makes us the Davis College. So, Chris, do you mind telling us a little about the Plant and Soil Science Department?
Yeah, so the Plant and Soil Science Department here at the Davis College, they have a lot of hands-on activities and classes that students are able to participate in and be a part of. One of the main facilities they use is the horticulture lab, and that's a greenhouse out towards animal science that's right by the United States Arena, at where they are able to study plants in a controlled environment and learn about how to grow them and like what helps them grow and generally have different factors to what to plant growth. And a little ways off campus, a couple blocks north, there is the research farm. The Plant and Soil Science Research Farm. Out there, students are able to conduct research experiments with, like, crops, per se. Like, so I know a couple students are doing some cotton research and, like, trying to develop a way of, like, the drought-resistant cotton, where they're able to kind of just develop cotton. That way it doesn't have to have a ton of water like it needs now.
That's awesome.
So another program in the college is the Natural Resources Management Department.
Yes.
And Cabri, you talked with Nathan Gill, right, about prescribed burning?
Yes, I did. So I did talk to the professor of that class, Dr. Nathan Gill. He kind of explained that he really likes to go out and get his students actually out in the field doing these prescribed burnings, because just sitting in a classroom memorizing the facts about the weather or any type of element, there's so much that goes into it, because fire is dangerous, obviously, but these kids actually get to go out in the field and put what they learn in the classroom to work, and it really sticks with them better than just sitting there taking a test and anything, and they get to work with professionals, and they get put in those scenarios where if something goes wrong, like, you have to know how to fix it, and I think that's really awesome that they're actually getting out there and doing that type of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like the things that those kids are learning in the classroom are being, they're becoming more meaningful to them when they're out in the field doing exactly what they're learning in the classroom.
For sure. And, I mean, this would probably last with them even past their college careers, even into professional or anything. Any type of decision that they learn out there in the field can really stick with them and help them throughout life.
Yeah. So we talked to a student that's in the Ag Ed block that is doing his student teaching right now. Chris, could you tell us a little bit about that high-impact learning experience?
Yeah, so we talked with Bryce Hamlin. He's a student in the Ag Ed program, the agricultural education. And he told us all about his ag ed experience and all the things he's gotten to do so far. One of the main things that they go over is going out and actually becoming like a teacher. To do that, you actually have to learn how to teach. Best way to learn how to teach, go to the classroom. So they send students across the state to go study under teachers and like work with them hands-on learning how to teach.
And where is Bryce? Where did he get to student teach at?
So Bryce got sent to Brock, Texas, just a little ways from Weatherford. He's out there working in the Brock Junior High with the agricultural teacher.
Nice. So kids not only going to get that experience in the classroom teaching other younger kids and students, but also they get to travel around the state, go to shows, and the typical duties of a judging coach, taking them to judging contests around the state or even around the nation and been putting on contests. And that's a big deal with the state FFA contest that's held here at Texas Tech. All the agricultural education majors, they have to go there and help run that contest. So that's really more experience for them.
Yeah, I feel like it can be a real eye-opener, too, for those kids to see exactly what they're getting into, whether they really like it or really don't.
Yeah, definitely a good way to decide kind of what you want to do in your career. Okay, so also in the Agricultural Education and Communications Department here on Texas Tech, or here on campus, we have our own block in the Agricultural Communications. So the Agricultural Communications block is a high-impact learning experience. It's all of us students really getting to produce a magazine, The Agriculturist. That's exactly why we're here. We also added a podcast this year. So you really get to learn a lot of different things that you may experience in a communications job. So, Nate, what was your best experience on the block this semester?
One big takeaway for me personally in the block this semester was taking a graphic design role, and I was in charge of our magazine layout, and so I spent a lot of time doing that, and that was probably the biggest thing that I had to do this semester.
Right, and are you planning on doing any design work in your future due to the block?
I'm definitely focused on that right now, and I'm doing my internship in graphic design, so far it's led me up to this point.
That's awesome.
My big takeaway was the writing aspect. I was our lead writer. Doesn't mean I did all the writing. They definitely did a good chunk of it. But I was in charge of just making sure the story was on the right track. One of the major things for me is it was a big, daunting task to do. It scared me at first, but after it, I got it done. They said to have our story is like 3,500 to 4,500 words, and looking at that, that sounds scary. But once you start writing, I figured it just went smoothly once I figured out what I needed to say and to get my story and my point across. It wasn't as hard as it thought, but it worked out well, and I'm really glad I got that experience.
Right, and that's one unique thing that they even added to the block this semester. We're actually all in teams instead of all each writing an individual story. We've all been in teams, and we've all had our own roles, and even though it is a classroom and you're still making your grade, the professors teach it as, like, this is an actual newsroom. This is a publication that we produce, and we're held to a very high standard, and I think that really benefits all of us in the end. I know I've seen it carry through to my internship. I've seen myself carry myself better. I'm able to work in teams better and go through different experiences that may come my way at work. So, Katie, as a photographer, what was your biggest challenge or, like, your biggest takeaway that will benefit you throughout your career?
I think taking initiative and, you know, I had to go and ask some of the people that we interviewed for photographs of their high-impact learning classrooms and experiences that they had with students. So I think a big takeaway that all of us could agree on is doing everything for ourselves. As a photographer, in this story, we didn't get it as many chances to photograph people having these high-impact learning experiences, but we were able to get pictures from people and instructors that have been with students throughout those experiences. So I think something that I've taken away from this experience is learning how to take initiative and reach out to people, because I'm not the most comfortable with, I feel like I'm bothering people. So that is something that I feel like I learned this semester.
Kind of similar to the ad sales. I mean, the agriculturists would not be able to even exist without going out and getting those advertisements and talking to your clients. And I mean, these are real people that you're going out to talk to and ask them to buy advertisements to help support not only you, but also the agriculturist. And I think that was really impactful too, because you're actually going out in the industry and not only presenting yourself for future employment, but also the agriculturist. In the animal science department, not only do they have animal science, but also meat science, and they have quite a lot. I heard that they had their own farm. Chris, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so up in New Deal, they have the Burnett Center, which is a cattle feedlot where they are able to study cattle growth and feeding habits and like different ways of editing their diet and to make it either more efficient, healthier, whatever they need. So that's one of the things they have. But on campus, they have the meat lab where we our national champion meat judging team practices. They consider that to be a high-impact learning experience because they are able to go out and actually physically look at the meat, handle the meat, safely, of course, but handle the meat without actually just, like, sitting in a classroom learning about different types of cuts. So they actually have all these hands-on experiences like we do.
Experience through an organization. One of those organizations is the Civic Leadership Academy. Dr. Hedrick, can you explain to us what civic leadership is?
Absolutely. And thank you all for having me today on the podcast. The Civic Leadership Academy is an opportunity for Davis College students to really consider how they will be a leader in their community after they graduate. One of the things that we want to prepare our tech students upon graduation is to be leaders within their community, whether that be if they're going back to their home community or they're moving to a new community. We want to give them the opportunity to be civically involved. And when we hear civics, I think sometimes we think, well, that just means voting. And for us, Civic Leadership Academy is more than voting. It's understanding the voting process, and maybe that's how you choose to be involved in your community. But it can also be opportunities for you to help with local nonprofits, the school system, make impacts in your community when you see larger challenges. And so one of the things the Civic Leadership Academy does is we help our students to assess the challenges of a community and then create solutions around those challenges.
What are some real-world experiences that your students have gone through in the Civic Leadership Academy?
Well, I think we go through a lot of training during the year. And so this program, we're on our second year and starts in January and goes until December. So it's on a calendar year. And students get the opportunity to engage with a lot of nonprofits here around the Lubbock area. In addition, they're going through leadership development training, SWOT analysis training, assessment training, and understanding as well how cities work. And so we do an entire day with the Lubbock Mayor's Office. And so they're able to learn about communities and community development from a variety of perspectives. And so in doing that, we really hope that they are able to learn some lessons. Maybe they connect to things they've learned in the classroom. But since these are outside of the classroom, we're giving them an opportunity to practice those skills and that content that they've learned and to frame it in different ways to help them understand, as a professional and as a graduate of Texas Tech, what's the next steps that they need to do in order to be civically involved.
And for the future of it, like, what do you have planned for right now? Like, I know how big is the program?
So our program each year ranges between 10 and 15 students. We've actually applied for some grants that would help us make that program larger and offer the opportunity to more students here within the Davis College. But right now we're between 10 and 15. For our class number two that we've got right now, we have 10 students. And so the future opportunities, this was created off a grant program. And so we've put in for several other grants just to hopefully keep the momentum and the trajectory of that program going. And so if there's anybody listening out there and civic leadership is important to you, we'd love to have a discussion just to keep this opportunity going for our Davis College students.
What kind of students are in the program right now? Are they just Davis College students, or how's that looking?
Yeah, so this program is a bit unique. When you look at other civic leadership programs around the country, we're the only one that's focused in the agricultural sciences and natural resources kind of arena. And so that does make us a little bit unique. Students to qualify for the program have to be a full-time Davis College student. They can be any major. And since it does go across an academic year, typically some seniors qualify, some do not. But we've got everything from freshmen to seniors involved this year.
Were you the one who founded the Civic Leadership Academy?
Yeah, so my first semester on faculty, I found a program, a grant program, and applied for it. And so we were given grant funding from the Helen Jones Foundation, and we were able to start the Civic Leadership Academy. And so starting a program from scratch, and that allowed a couple things for me as a faculty member. You know, I'm in the leadership and community development sector. And so when you think about that, I was able to really think about what are the skills that our ag graduates need when they graduate. And so someone talked about soft skills earlier. And so we call them essential skills in leadership. These are the essential skills that you're going to need to join the workforce. And so wanted a program that taught that, but also taught you how to actually be included and make an impact on your community in some way. And with the Civic Leadership Academy, I think that was a way for us to blend leadership development, community development, and really all points in between, but specifically showing students how they could have and make an impact. One of the things that we teach our students in CLA is to assess, not assume. And what we mean by that is, let's say it's a cold day here in Lubbock and you're on your way to school and you see someone who you assume to be homeless on the side of the road. They don't have a jacket on. And so you say, you know what? They're cold. They need a jacket. I'm going to do a coat drive. And you rally your friends and you go to your classes and you say, hey, if anybody wants to donate a coat, maybe it's one of your student organizations. I want to donate a coat. And so you collect 30 coats and you're feeling really great about yourself. And you should, because you're doing something for someone else. You take that to the local nonprofit and you say, here's the 30 coats. And they say, oh, well, thank you. Three other groups actually donated coats today as well. It's not that what you've done was bad, but you've assumed. You've not taken time to do some assessment. And so what we may find out is that maybe coats are essential, but maybe someone else is taking care of that. Maybe the true need is human resources of some kind, food, transportation, clothing, shelter. Like, there can be all these different things. But when we take the time to actually assess what is needed, then chances are we're going to make a larger impact on the challenge or situation that we're handling.
So was this just kind of like a spur of the moment, or did something impact your life that made you want to
students can have
the CLA program?
Well, Beyonce says, I woke up like this. And I wish I could say that I woke up like this one morning and was like, yes, this is what we're going to do. I've always been involved in my community and how to make a difference when I was there. We did a lot of service you know, service there, whether that be going to the local nursing home or picking up trash, doing lots of different community really service activities. And so that always stuck with me. And as I've gotten my education, and when I got my PhD, I started thinking about ways that we could apply leadership fundamentals to that in a way that helped our help students across agriculture, but across in general, help them become better stewards of their own communities. We want all of our TTU students to, when they graduate, to go and do great things, do big things within the ag community, within natural resources community, whatever sector that they end up in. And most of our students, though they're studying agriculture, some of them won't end up in the ag industry. And so we don't want to limit their skills to just agriculture, and we don't. A lot of the things that we do in our classrooms are very transferable across disciplines and across different different fields. But I think that one of the things that we can think about in terms of this is agriculture has given a lot to us. And if you're studying agriculture, you have your own agriculture origin story. What got you involved? What got you interested in studying that? And so when we think about that, that should be the fuel that motivates you to figure out how you're going to make an impact in the ag community eventually. That was kind of the idea behind Civic Leadership Academy, helping students connect that passion, connect that motivation to making impacts later in life.
Dr. Hedrick, as a faculty member, how does high-impact learning impact you?
Well, I think as a faculty member, we're always looking for new ways to engage our students. And, you know, we prepare our classes and we can teach classes and add different activities in the classroom that are important and crucial and allow our students to try out the material. You know, when we get up and give lectures, we don't do that for our health. We do that for the betterment of our students and for the ag industry in general. In my classes, I challenge my students a lot in lecture. Like once we learn a concept or a theory, I want them to apply it to their own life on campus or maybe their internship or a full-time job. And I think that all faculty members are thinking about those kind of value-added experiences that students can get. We want to give you an opportunity to try the content out, to play around with how you're going to use it. In elementary school, we got to go out for recess, right? And you got to play around on the monkey bars and things like that. In college, you don't get those opportunities. And so those are our opportunities to give you an opportunity to play within the industry, but to use what you're learning for the benefit of others and kind of pushing it forward. You know, on campus, we have a lot of incentives for us on campus in terms of funding and resources that we can tap into as faculty members for high impact learning. The Davis College offers a lot of resources for our faculty. The Teaching and Learning and Professional Development Center here on campus, the TLPDC, for faculty members, you can get a certificate in service learning and understanding how to make your classes better for service learning. How to make your classes more inclusive and all these other things. But they do that, and I think that is a great opportunity for us to grow as instructors, but also to help our students grow.
Dr. Hedrick, in the future, how do you see the university moving with high-impact learning and service learning?
Well, I think that high-impact learning, service learning, all these things, these opportunities are going to continue because we have evidence that these help students prepare for the workforce. They give you those workforce development skills. They give you the opportunity to better yourself through your education, but also through the experiences and opportunities that you're encountering. And so I think that those opportunities are going to continue to grow. You know, one thing that we haven't talked about that I think has a huge impact on students is study abroad and education abroad. I was able to take students to Spain last summer, and I can see the difference that experience made for those students. I plan to do those in the future, and I think Davis College itself is looking to expand our study abroad opportunities for students because we do live in a global society, and it's important for you to understand how agriculture works and functions across the world. And it's the best time in your life to travel is when you're in college. So note of the day. I think that's one of the important things. But I do think that there are opportunities to keep expanding. And I think a lot of things that you're going to start seeing in the future are collaborative opportunities. So a natural resources student and an AgCom student could pair up and do some really awesome things around science communications, nature communications, things that are going to impact that industry. It's two expertise levels coming together, and I think that we're going to see more of that collaboration in the future.
Well, thank you for joining us, Dr. Hedrick. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and getting your take on high-impact learning.
And like I said, I appreciate you all having me on today. Shameless plug, I also have a podcast, and if it's okay with you all, it's called The Leadership Combine, and it's sponsored by the Agriculture Leadership Discipline here at Texas Tech University. Speaking of podcasts, I think that's a high-impact learning experience, too, because students get the opportunity to prepare the script and become the content experts. And so we're recording season two right now, and hopefully you all can check that out, but I'll plug it for your audience as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening. I'm Chris Vardy.
I'm Cabri Mullins.
I'm Nate Gregory.
And I'm Katie Harris.
And this is the Agriculturist Podcast.
Make sure to check out our story in the 2023 edition of the Agriculturist.
The Agriculturist Podcast was completely produced by students enrolled in the Agricultural Communications Block at Texas Tech University. The Block is a capstone experience where students enroll in four courses to produce the magazine and a campaign plan. To learn more about our program, go to depts.ttu.edu/aged. The Agriculturist is available online at ttuagriculturist.com and is available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.